Welcome to Open Your Eyes, a podcast about empowering each of us with the perspective and tools to grow and change. I hope as you join this podcast today that you and your family are doing well and prospering. Thank you so much for your messages and feedback about Open Your Eyes. We love hearing from you, and we hope that this podcast helps you find a few insights and a bit more hope to live a happier life. It's our firm belief that a powerful way to do that is to open our eyes to new ways of seeing life. You see, at the foundation of our behavior and beliefs is the way we see the world and ourselves in it. So hopefully this podcast today will give you a new perspective that you can use to think and live better. And when you're done listening, share this podcast with a friend. It just may be what they need in their life today. Let's get started. Today, I'd like to talk about the power of expectations. Have you ever heard of skiffle? Well, it's a musical style that was popular in Britain in the 1950s. It was started by bands who made their own instruments with inexpensive things like washboards and chest basses, along with guitars and banjos. It was a mix of jazz, blues, and folk music that often included jug bands. Well, in the 1950s, a young man named John Lennon started a skiffle band named the Quarrymen. John, Pete Shotton, and Eric Griffiths were a few of the members of that band. A number of band members came and went, but the group rehearsed at Pete Shotton's home. In 1957, the group played at a permanent stage in a field behind St. Peter's Church. It was then that Paul McCartney arrived and heard them play. Well, after the day ended, the band members talked about inviting Paul McCartney to join the band. The band wanted to move away from skiffle towards rock and roll. So McCartney agreed and joined the band a few months later. And soon McCartney and Lennon started to write a few songs together. After a performance in which McCartney shined on the guitar, the group decided to add another guitarist. McCartney recommended George Harrison. After Harrison joined, a few of the original members left the group, but the drummer, Pete Best, remained with the band. In 1960, they changed the name of the band to the Beatles. The group would hone their craft in Germany, playing there for several years. With their popularity growing, producer George Martin signed the band, and in a recording session, he insisted Pete Best be replaced on the drums with a better, more talented studio drummer. The Beatles would replace him with Ringo Starr. A year or two later, the Beatles would start on an upward ascent that would vault them into rock and roll history. In total, it is estimated that Ringo Starr alone, who wrote very few songs, has personally made over $350 million with the Beatles. Now, if you were Pete Best, the prior drummer, would you have expected that the band would be such superstars? Probably not. Many bands come and go. Would you be resentful? Or would you be happy for the success of the band, even though they replaced you? We all make decisions, don't we, based on what we expect. I'm sure the members of the Quarrymen who left the band early on would have chosen differently if they had expected the Beatles to be such a success. But because of different expectations, they left the band for other endeavors. How many decisions have you made or not made in life based on expectations? For sure, in building your business, you've given more help to a person you expected to do well, and perhaps not so much for someone you didn't expect. Were you right in your expectations? I've had team members, children, and others confound my expectations, and I have, like you, had many people let me down based on expectations. And when the expectations are related to ourselves and our life, expectations in reality can change our level of happiness, our feelings, and our life in many ways. Happiness has long been a central concern of humanity. We pursue happiness through a variety of means, achievements, relationships, possessions, or a dozen other ways. Yet it often seems elusive. A major reason for our lack of happiness? Well, research is now telling us it's the difference between expectations and reality. The problem with happiness is that we often expect certain things, and when reality fails to align with those expectations, disappointment follows. Conversely, when reality surpasses expectations, we may be happy. This interplay suggests that happiness is less about the reality of life and more about the alignment or misalignment between what we anticipate and what we encounter. Expectations act as mental blueprints for how life should unfold, and they provide direction, they fuel ambition, and motivate effort. A student expects that studying diligently will lead to high grades. A business owner expects that hard work will result in advancement or increased income. A couple expects that marriage will bring lasting fulfillment. And these expectations serve as psychological anchors, influencing behavior and decision-making. By setting benchmarks for what should happen, we expose ourselves to the risk of disappointment when outcomes fall short. So, how do we set realistic expectations? Well, this is where the discussion gets interesting. If you listen to author Morgan Housel, he says that we focus too much on the wrong expectations, and as a result, we're often confused. He says dumb luck is a bigger part of our life than we think. He says the Battle of Long Island was a disaster for George Washington's army. His 10,000 troops were crushed by the British and its 400-ship fleet. But it could have been so much worse, and it would have been the end of the Revolutionary War. All the British had to do was sail up the East River, and Washington's cornered troops would have been wiped out. But it never happened, because by luck, the wind wasn't blowing in the right direction, and sailing up the river became impossible for the British. Historian David McCullough once told interviewer Charlie Rose that if the wind had been in the other direction on the night of August 28, 1776, it would have been all over. No United States of America if that had happened? Rose asked. I don't think so, said McCullough. Just because of the wind, history was changed again? Asked Rose. Absolutely, said McCullough. Here's another example. Compelled to save money, Captain William Turner shut down the fourth boiler room on his giant steamship for its passage from New York to Liverpool. The decision would slow the ship's voyage by one day, an annoyance, but worth the savings as the passenger ship industry struggled economically. Little did he know, or anyone else knew, how fateful the decision would be. The delay meant Turner's ship, the Lusitania, would now sail directly into the path of a German submarine. The Lusitania was hit with a torpedo, killing nearly 1,200 passengers and becoming the most important trigger to rally U.S. public support for entering World War I. Had the fourth boiler room been operating, Turner would have reached Liverpool a day before the German submarine had even entered the Celtic Sea. The ship would likely have avoided attack, and a country may have avoided a war that became the seed event for the rest of the 20th century. Giuseppe Zangara was tiny, barely 5 feet tall. He stood on a chair outside a Miami political rally in 1933 because that was the only way he could aim his gun across the crowd. Zangara fired 5 shots. One of them hit Chicago Mayor Anton Cermak, who was shaking hands with Zangara's intended target. Cermak died. The target, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was sworn in as president 2 weeks later. And within months of his inauguration, Roosevelt transformed the U.S. economy through the New Deal. John Nance Garner, who would have become president had Zangara hit his target, opposed most of the New Deal's deficit spending. He almost certainly wouldn't have enacted many of the same policies, some of which still shape today's economy. The same type of circumstances happen in our life as well. How did you meet your spouse? How did good fortune happen in your life? It's likely it was a bit of luck that caused it to happen. The point is this: we can set expectations, but alongside those expectations, we ought to be realizing that circumstances can change and luck plays a key role. Therefore, when certain things happen, we need to be flexible in our reaction, recognizing that luck plays a role. It's interesting in the English language that we use expecting as the term to describe when a woman is pregnant. Why is that? What is she expecting? Yes, the birth of a new baby, but the term denotes those mothers are looking forward to something or something is probable. And if you look at what happens when you become pregnant, the term is apt or fitting, because getting pregnant does in fact change your life. And based on my experience with a wife and three daughters who have had children, it's obvious that more than their bodies change when they're expecting. They speak differently. They talk about different things. They read pregnancy books and even shop differently. And expecting mothers is something that Target has figured out. Unbeknownst to you and me, when we go shopping, we share intimate details about our consumption patterns with retailers. And many of those retailers are studying those details to figure out what you like, what you need, and how to market to you. Target has figured out how to identify whether you are expecting long before you need to start buying diapers or even begin to show physically that you're pregnant. Target assigns every customer an ID number and stores a history of everything they've bought and any demographic information Target gets from social media about you. Here's what they've learned about expecting mothers. Lots of people buy lotion, but Target noticed that women on the baby registry were buying larger quantities of unscented lotion around the beginning of their second trimester. They also discovered in the first 20 weeks, pregnant women load up on supplements like calcium, magnesium, and zinc. They also found that expecting mothers buy lots of scent-free soap and extra big bags of cotton balls in addition to hand sanitizers and washcloths. One news report said, take a fictional Target shopper named Jenny Ward, who is 23, lives in Atlanta, and in March bought cocoa butter lotion, a purse large enough to double as a diaper bag, zinc and magnesium supplements, and a bright blue rug. There's an 87% chance that she's pregnant and that her delivery date is sometime in late August. So as a result, you may wonder how, when you are expecting, even before you start telling people about your pregnancy, your social media ads change to things like diapers and maternity clothes. And you wonder, how did they know? Well, your shopping behavior could be one way Target and other advertisers know. And the same goes for all of us. When we expect something, we change our behavior, even if we're not consciously aware of those changes. There's tremendous power in expecting. Whether we're expecting a baby or a change or a new job or anything else, there's enabling power when we expect. And there's a huge amount of research done to prove the power of expectations. When we hold expectations, we hold more than hope for something that is coming. Like expecting mothers, we take on an identity. And the reason this is important to us is this. If we could learn how to harness the power of expectations and use them to help us in whatever we're trying to do or become, we could add power, magic, strength to our efforts. And the power of expecting works for individuals, teams, and families. Years ago, several researchers had participants undergo a unique experiment. The participants were told their job was to train rats to quickly make it through a maze. Half the participants were told they had bright or smart rats that were carefully bred to be highly adept at completing mazes. The other half were told they had not so bright rats that had no training in completing mazes. The participants had 5 days to train the rats to complete the maze. After those 5 days, the rats trained by participants who were told that they had bright rats were able to complete their task twice as fast as the not-so-bright rats. Remember, there was absolutely no difference between the two groups of rats. The rats were randomly selected with no maze experience at all. We could be very much like these rats. When someone expects a given result, that expectation unconsciously affects the outcome or report of the expected result. When a participant expects to have a certain kind of outcome, they will, without realizing it, change their actions and behaviors to actually get this outcome. This concept can give us a lot of power. Expectations activate our attention and energy. As one author put it, We live in a world that operates much like an echo chamber. What goes out comes back to us over and over again. If you think about how the world looks and feels to you when you're in a good mood and when you're in a sour mood, you'll have a sense of how expectation in your life works. Let's stay with that example for just a minute. When you're in a good mood, you put out that you are in a good mood. And generally, what you get in return is people or things reacting to your positivity. What does that do in turn to you? Well, it confirms that things are good and you are indeed in a good state, and it means you experience the world as expected. You could argue that your expectation of being in a good mood is almost like being hypnotized, that you are, in fact, in a good mood. You've seen someone, or you yourself may have been hypnotized. The hypnotist will say something like, "When you hear the word light bulb, you will feel the sun is shining so bright you can't look up." And the person being hypnotized will react accordingly. This is the same type of thing that happens when you really expect something. Here's a simple example. A class of high school basketball players with similar skills were divided into three groups to conduct an experiment. Group one was told not to practice shooting free throws for 1 month. Group two was told to practice shooting free throws an hour a day for a month. Group three was told to practice shooting free throws for an hour a day for a month, but only in their imagination. They never touched a basketball. They just imagined doing so. At the end of the month, all three groups were tested. The group that didn't practice decreased in its free throw success. The group that practiced an hour a day stayed about the same. But the third group, which practiced only in their minds, increased their success rate. How could actual practice, such as done by the second group, fail to improve performances as much as practicing in the mind? The explanation is that in your mind, you never miss a shot. This is the power of expectation. So, what does this mean for you and me? Let's say you just started an effort with your team to reach some significant goals. Wouldn't it make sense to really get clear about expectations, to imagine your results this week, to talk and think and strategize about them? You see, time spent to set the right and reasonable expectations may have more power to influence outcome than training or other factors. If you're trying to change a long-standing habit, it would be essential to spend, say, 10 minutes a day imagining the trigger points in your day and picturing how you will act differently at the moment those triggers present themselves. This is why many therapists have you write down a description of how you will react at the time of trigger, because they want you to set expectations. Here's why. Let me explain something simple that happens in our brain when we set the path of expectations in our life or work. You see, when you imagine yourself doing something, you create a neural pathway. A neural pathway is a connection formed in your brain from one neuron to another. And this allows a signal to be sent from one part of your nervous system to the other more quickly. Think about it like this. Imagine walking across a wheat field. The first time you step on the stalks of wheat and bend them down, you make a small form of a path. If you never travel that way again, the path will disappear. But if you travel that path again and again, soon the path will become more defined. If traveled extensively, it will grow into a trail, then dirt road, and then paved roadway, and then a superhighway in your mind. As a result, you will act accordingly because your mind has already formed the pathway of reaction. So, if you're working on overcoming a habit, or doing what you said you would do, or speaking to a prospect, or reacting to a family member more positively, and a host of other things you may do in life, think about how to create pathways by creating expectations and thinking about those expectations. So, how do you form expectations that can have enabling power in your life? Well, not casually. It takes effort and thought to create expectations that can really change you and your life. Dan Tomasulu calls it imagining your best possible self. He says to do so, write it down. As you write down everything about your best possible future life, It may be tempting to think about the difficulties, setbacks, or obstacles, but this exercise is exclusively about the future, not about the past. Imagine circumstances changing enough that a brighter future unfolds for you. You are aligning with the best possibility for yourself. Write down these future possibilities as if they've already taken place. Instead of "my house will be paid off," try "my house is paid off. And we just had a mortgage burning party with all my friends and family." Next, create a selfie by depicting a scene. Tear out images and headlines from magazines, or grab your phone and use images there, or use your kids' crayons, or whatever it takes. This is for you to make it something you can resonate with. And this is more than a dream board. This is a vision of you that you can use to set expectations in your brain. Then take that image, put it on the wallpaper on your phone, put it in a place where you'll see it often, because you are activating expectations. Studies show that depicting explicit images of achievement, which I call priming, helps you more than you realize at reaching goals. One research study showed that exposure to achievement-related photographs predicted academic success, and images of overcoming challenging goals predicted even greater success. Whatever you do, you are imagining and defining and setting the expectation of your best possible self. And it works. And once you do this, like expecting mothers, you begin to put on a different identity, and that identity begins to guide your efforts. George Bernard Danzig was an American mathematical scientist who brought about significant discoveries in the areas of computer science and statistics. He is best known for his development of the simplex algorithm. In computing science, the algorithm can determine whether a solution exists for a complex linear problem. And Danzig was the professor emeritus of transportation sciences and professor of computer science at Stanford University. What made him most famous, however, is in 1939, while he was a graduate student at UC Berkeley, he was late for class, and prior to class, his professor wrote two examples of famously unsolved statistics problems on the blackboard. And when Danzig arrived, he assumed that the two problems on the board were homework assignments for the day. He wrote them down and went home to work on them. According to Danzig, he worked on the problems, and they seemed a bit harder than usual. Despite the difficulty, he solved the problems and handed them to his professor, even though they were likely overdue at the time. The professor, amazed at Danzig's brilliance, prepared Danzig's responses for publication. How did Danzig solve the problems that up until that point in time were impossible? Was it because, unlike the rest of his class, he wasn't told that the problems were impossible? Of course, he had the talent to solve them, but I believe it was because he had the expectations that the problems were solvable. You know, I see this in students all the time. At the start of my business strategy classes each semester, on that first day, the room seemed to fill up with students from different majors and backgrounds. And you can almost see it in each student as they come into the room and select a seat, what their expectations are. Some of them have expectations of success, and others, expectations of boredom or something else. Now, I taught the class in a room in which students were seated in a U-shape around the professor. And it's interesting that the students who expect good things often sit in the center, in front of the professor, while others who don't sit on the side, outside the typical view of the professor. And I've noticed consistently over the years that students who sit on the side perform less in the class. Could it be that their expectation guides where they sit and how they will interact and how well they do in class? Yes, I believe it does. So, let me pause for just a minute and say this very important thing. In fact, if you take away nothing else from this podcast today, don't miss taking away this. I doubt you or I have the capability to really imagine what amazing things God expects of us and has in store for us in terms of who we can become. So often, we underestimate our true potential. But you and I were not put here on this earth to just get by or to tread in the waters of unfulfilled thoughts or lack of expectations. You should and can expect to do amazing things. You have the DNA of an all-knowing divine influence in your life that is waiting for you to rise to be who you're meant to be. I believe this with all my being, that you are endowed with gifts tailored to you and your life that will enable you and empower you to rise, overcome, and become your very best possible self. You may have failed, doesn't matter. You may have wasted some time, doesn't matter. You even have habits that you need to overcome. It's okay, because today, this day, you can begin to expect something different of yourself and your future. Today, this day, you can begin to envision and imagine a new way of acting and reacting to what comes your way. We can all see a new path to who we can truly become. The future you is found in a belief window full of expectations. So many people never get anywhere in their lives because they don't know where they're trying to go. And if you don't have an expectation, a destination, you really have no reason to make plans. Several years ago, there was a study done at Harvard University. The graduating class was polled, and it was found that only 3% of the class had any clear goals about their future. 20 years later, the researchers followed up on the same graduating class. The 3% who had clearly defined goals accomplished more and made more money than the other 97% combined. It was Goethe who said, "Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it." And I think it was Nelson Mandela who said, "There is no passion to be found in playing small, in settling for a life that is less than the one you are capable of living." Now, while all of this talk about expectations and your best possible self is powerful for you and me, it's even more powerful for your children. If there were anything we could pass on to our children or grandchildren, it would be to teach them how to expect the very best they have in themselves, to imagine the best possible future in everything they do. You know, my mother would do this for me as a child. It didn't come often, and it wasn't in a big way, but she would tell me about my future. She would tell me what I could do, who I could be, and what a difference I could make in life. And as I reflect on the moments in which she shared her vision for me, I can say how it taught me to expect more from myself. You have the power to give the gift of expecting the very best to your children and your team and yourself. So, as we end today, remember how your identity and your life and your priorities change when you are expecting. And like a mother who is expecting, you can take on a new you when you see your future in a different way. Most of all, thanks for being here today. And be sure to join us next week for another Open Your Eyes podcast as we seek to open our eyes to who and what we can become.